Benjamin Franklin once said, in wine there is wisdom, in beer there is freedom, and in water there's bacteria. No bacteria here. This is On the Back Bar. On the Back Bar is your gateway to talking to the people behind the scenes at bars, distilleries, and vineyards around the world. We'll talk to the experts in the industry about future trends, people, spirits, cocktails, wine, and everything else. So kick your feet up, pour your favorite drink, and hang out on the back bar. This is Christopher Menning.
Welcome back to On About Bar podcast. For those listening on Spotify and iTunes, thank you for joining. For those watching on YouTube, thank you. Really great to have you here. Special guest today. I'm very happy. It's actually my last podcast of this year. So wrapping up 2023 amazingly well. Chef Ton, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Sawadee kap.
How have you been? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well. So very good. It's been a busy year, but you know.
It has been very busy, yes, particularly for you with all these amazing accomplishments, which we're going to go into. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I was just saying, I've not really had many chefs on the show before. You'll be the second, so this is really cool. What's been going on recently? Because I know, obviously, we've just had the Michelin Guide Awards come out. You've had an incredible year with sort of a lot of events and new openings. But yeah, can you tell us a bit about what's been up recently?
I think it's, you know, this year is a lot of things going on out in the food scene in Thailand, in Bangkok especially, you know, because it's the first year after the, you know, the first real year after the pandemic, right? That everyone coming back in full stream. In a way that, you know, we see a lot of, you know, a lot of restaurant, a lot of bar opening as well, which is a good thing to see. But then, you know, maybe I mean, to be honest, not everyone gonna make it. But then because actually this year is very interesting for me. It's a good year for the industry, but in a way it's actually, you know, quite slower from the year before. You know, people think it's gonna be like, oh, this is the first year after COVID, like after COVID, so it will be like amazing years. But actually, you know, in 2022, I think the whole Bangkok in terms of the food industry doing a lot better. For some reason this year is the business for many people is not quite the same, which is very, very weird. And then that is like, you know, unexpected for many people.
Do you think that's because the borders are open, so Thai people were leaving the country?
Yeah, that too. Yeah. And then I think because of that, and then plus on the, because like I said, this year is the first year that the world is completely open. So also the tourists have many choices, you know. They all come to Thailand in 2022 because we are the first one to open the country in Asia. Right. Yeah. And we benefit a lot from that. And so it's make 2022 is like almost the unreal year for us. True. Right? So, and then 23 come back to, like, you know, we back to where we were. So, yeah, you know, and that people, maybe many people didn't expect that, especially some people that just came into the industry in 22, you know, they think this is like every year, you know, I mean, we wish, but then it's not the case. Yeah.
It's funny because, I mean, I'd like to go back a little bit because you've been such an integral part of Thai fine dining, I think, and you really sort of led the torch. When I came here 5 years ago, we didn't have Michelin Guide, we didn't have 50 Best, there wasn't really much going on, you know. And I guess you were sort of leading Le Doux, which we'll talk about, your sort of signature restaurant for a long time. But can you take us back a bit to when you first started Le Doux, what the fine dining scene was like? And I mean, I guess there really wasn't much of a fine dining scene, right, when you first started.
So basically, Le Doux is 10 year this year. So we just had the 10 year anniversary. And looking back in 2013, when we opened, it's like the food scene is completely different. You know, at that time, like you said, not so many, you know, fine dining in terms of the standalone restaurant. You know, back in the day, it's only like, you know, the fine dining that day is considered like, you know, you're eating in the hotel, you know, the restaurant in the hotel, which is, I mean, nothing wrong with it, but just, you know, is maybe less interesting than what we have today in the city. And you know, especially 10 years ago, if you talk about the Thai fine dining, it's almost unheard of, maybe except a few who's like a super pioneer of the Thai cuisine, like, you know, David Thompson, like, you know, Chef Bo and Dylan, and that's about it, you know, and no one else actually, you know, do it, anything with Thai cuisine at that time. Because of, you know, maybe people don't want to pay for it, you know, to be honestly, you know, 10 years ago, people didn't see Thai cuisine as a, you know, a high cuisine. They see it's like why we pay so much for Thai cuisine and local ingredients.
Right.
Back in the day, you know, when I started Ladoo and we try to use local ingredients and cooking, like, you know, maybe the one of the first to doing the 100% local and modern Thai cuisine at that day. And then people like look at us and like, why are you even, you know, this silly boy, what you're trying to do, right? So.
Right. But it's changed a lot now, right? I mean, look at the industry now. It's,
I mean, you can see, right? 10 years ago, people tell me that I'm stupid to using all local ingredients. Now it's like all the trend, every restaurant using local ingredients.
Yeah, true.
Which is a good thing. You know, I wanted to see that 10 years ago, and then now we saw it. So, I mean, you know, hopefully that what I believe and I wanted to change. And today we see the change in the better way. And the better for the industry, and also better for all the farmer and fishermen, that they have the better life as well. And that is the point, you know, that's why I love Open Ladoo in the first place as well.
That's good. Actually, let's talk about that, because obviously I think it's very important to work with your local community and the farmers
for such.
And obviously that's a big part of your ethos. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, can you tell us about some of the people you work with in the area?
Yeah. So I think, like, okay, for example, you know, we have like the ladies who growing the edible flower from us,
Nice. Okay.
Now the farm now is called Farm Soup.
I know these people. Yeah,
which is like, you know, she is the most, maybe the biggest, you know, the local edible flowers now, you know. I met her about 9 years ago, I think, when the first year I opened Ladoo. And she tried to sell me this, like, you know, cabbage and something that she grow, right? So I told her that, you know, I don't want this. I want edible flowers, you know. And she looked at me like, you know, I'm from like moon or something, you know, like what this guy talking about. You want, like, you know, edible flowers. How can I sell the flowers for people to eat and then make a living?
Right.
Right. Because for them, they think like, oh, I have to grow like 1,000, you know, 10 tons of cabbage to make a living, you know, because the vegetable is so cheap in Thailand. And I'm like, you know, no, you just grow me like that, you know, small boxes of edible flowers.
Yeah.
And then she's not believing me. And then I'm telling her, like, start, grow it, and then sell it to me. And you see the change. And then, you know, from that point now, you know, 9 years later, she's one of the biggest, you know, she don't have to grow anything else except the flowers now.
Wow.
And then she have like, also she, you know, create this network of the farmers that growing this edible flower in different part of Thailand, you know, and make, you know, many families of farmers, you know, have the better living and everything. So so that's one example that we were proud of. Yes.
I want to maybe veer off a little bit. So one big achievement was to get in the number one spot in the Asia 50 best restaurants.
Yes.
Incredible. Not just for yourself, but also for Thailand, I think.
Yes.
Did you, when you first opened Ladoo, did you ever expect to get to this point?
To be honest, no. To be honest, like when I opened Ladoo, the first thing that I want is to survive the first year, you know, because what's been, you know, the first month is very rough, you know, it's no customer. Of course, we opened in like, you know, stupid location for fine dining. No one, 10 years ago, now Saturn is booming, right? But you have to think about it, you know, Saturn and Siloam 10 years ago. No one opened the restaurant there. Everyone want to open the restaurant in Thong Lo, in Ekamai, in Sukhumvit, you know, and then no one want to open it. And then we opened it there. And, the first month is rough. Luckily, we have, you know, we're doing something interesting. And then we have like many people mention about us, you know, the media is right about us. So that's why we survived the first year. And yes, to answer your question, no. But then here we are, right? So.
What was that like, that experience of getting the number one spot? And
I mean, it's very unreal. To be honest, right. I didn't expect that. You know, we know that we hang around on the top in Asia, but for me, you know, to get number one is something quite huge. And then no other Thai chef ever, you know, done it before.
Yeah.
And it's quite difficult if you see like all the, I'm not saying it's competitors, but all the amazing chefs in the Asia that you have to, you know, also in a way friendly compete with, you know, on Japan, you know, Hong Kong,
yeah.
You know, Korea, and they all, you know, very strong in what they do. So to be able to do that is a great achievement. And then, like you said, it's more like not for myself, but to be a proof of that. For me, it's like, is a proof that, you know, the Thai chef to tell the, you know, all the young generation of chef that, as well, that, you know, we can do it, you know.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, touching on that, because I know that you've done stuff in the past with San Pellegrino and Acapana,
yes.
to help young chefs get into the industry, right. And sort of, you know, what is that still a big part of your life and trying to support and build the community?
Yes, I think it's very important, you know, for me, I'm doing Ledoux for 10 years. I know how to, you know, to run a restaurant, basically. Now I have many restaurants. And I think the most important thing is to build up your team in your own restaurant. And I think to see the talents and also support the talent as well.
Mm.
You know, to be honest, in this industry, it's not easy to you know, you can be amazing cook, amazing chef, and you will never have a chance to open your own restaurant,
mm-hmm.
because of many things. Because of, you know, maybe you don't know how to do it. Maybe it's the money. Maybe it's the a lot of factors. You know, factor in. And I want, you know, in a way to help, you know, that those people, those talented, that very, very good in what they do and what they, you know, they're passionate about, and to realize their dream, to make them to have their own restaurant. Yes,
I think it's very important to follow your dreams, for sure. If you've got a passion, you've got to just push through, right? And
yes.
You're obviously a testament to that. For young aspiring chefs, particularly in Bangkok and Thailand, mm-hmm. what would you recommend for them to start off with? I mean, there's obviously some great food schools here and some people to follow,
yes.
but is there anything else that young chefs should be doing to train themselves, to build themselves up?
I think is to, of course, you know, go, you know, in a nice, you know, cooking school. I think nowadays they're very lucky. They don't have to go very far, you know, like back in my days in Thailand, it's almost nothing to,
right.
you know, 15, 20 years ago. Now you have so many good school, you know, in Bangkok that teaching culinary. So I think that's, you know, of course, you know, go have your proper education and then, you know, work in the good restaurant that you look up to,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then really, you know, put your effort, you know, into it and passion. It's just not, I mean, you have to work hard at the end of the day, you know, it's the life. I know nowadays, like the medias and everything, maybe make this profession of chef, you know, be a bit more easier than, you know, is, you know, than it used to be,
yeah.
which is a good thing that you can get a lot of people to want to become a chef, but the process is still difficult, you know. I would not say it's like, maybe nowadays a lot easier already, you know, compared to all those, you know, in the old days 30 years ago, that the chef is like, you have to work for, you know, 20 years to become a chef. Nowadays, yeah. not anymore, of course, but you still have to put a lot of work into it, and I think the patience is very important, and also the discipline is very important, you know, for the young generation, which is maybe it's a bit hard to find on this day. Yeah,
discipline, very, very important. Yeah, yes. I worked in hospitality for, you know, 15 years, and I was sort of in hotels,
mm-hmm.
but you know, as a bartender for a long time, cocktail bars, so I was used to sort of working, you know, 14-hour shifts.
Yes.
And, you know, just constantly nonstop, but you have to just get through that, right? And
mm-hmm.
you're right, actually, the age of social media and media, it's very easy to overnight become a success, you know, celebrity chef, just from a post, but yeah, the hard work is very important, right?
Yes, yes,
absolutely.
For sure.
So Obviously, you have more restaurants than Ledoux, and it seems to be every year you're opening a new concept, which is amazing. Another one you've got is Nusara. I can see you wearing the top, which is great.
Yes.
Can we talk about that? Because obviously this is another one, which is number three in the Asia 50 best. So that's incredible.
So after Ledoux, you know, and then we opened Nusara with my family. You know, Nusara is the name after my grandmom who passed away just before the COVID. So we want me and my brother, so want to open something that is like her memorials. So we open Nusara, you know, we start off like the most small place with one table, you know, during the COVID and fortunately, you know, we receive amazing feedback, you know, from that time it's only local people, you know, that for 2 years we just have all the local guests, and then we lucky enough to fully book every night. So Nusara start off with very, very good, and then but during the COVID as well, so we have the opportunities to see this amazing space. You know, that I think it can be one of the maybe the best and the most beautiful spot for Thai restaurant, not even in Thailand, but maybe in the world to see this view now that we have today. We just look over the Wat Pho. And then that's why we decide to put everything all we have and then move. Yes.
It's a fantastic spot. And you obviously have the cocktail bar as well there.
Yes, loose bar.
With Ronapawn, which is quite cool. So how's that going? Is it people loving their cocktails as well?
It's great. So, you know, of course, you know, Ronapawn is one of the, you know, the best bartender we have, you know, not even in Thailand, but in the Asia and in the world. Yeah. So everyone knows him, and then he is like, you know, have amazing talent. And we work together, partner up in the Nus Bar, you know, which is underneath the Nusara, and it's going very well. You know, it start off with very small bar, but then we get a lot of good feedback, you know, and a good customer base, and then everyone that come love the cocktail that, you know, he's created based on the local and seasonal fruit and, you know, herbs, spices, which is very nice. Yes.
One thing, maybe going back to discipline, I've always been very, very impressed by you because you are hugely successful. You're crazy busy. I mean, you seem to be always like doing something and traveling as well.
Yes.
But you're also very humble and you're very easy to sort of talk to. And it just seems like you're almost like a one man army, but I'm sure that behind the scenes, there's a lot of stress, a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
How do you stay, you know, on top of all of this, and how do you stay so?
Yeah. Like you said, I'm very, in a way, you know, I'm not look like it, but I'm very a workaholic person. You know, I don't like, I don't like day off. I don't like holidays, you know.
Okay.
The thing I hate the most is to sit on the beach and do nothing. I can't stand it. I try many times and it fail, you know. So I like to be doing something all the time. And that is always my, you know, I think it's my habit, you know, since I was very young, you know. I don't like to stay at home.
Hmm.
I'm the one who always have to find activities, you know, something to do, something new things to challenge me. And I think that, you know, carry on to when I'm becoming adults and start working and have my own business as well.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I'm trying to do everything. And then I'm very, like, I would like to do things by myself. Of course, I have a big team and they're very good. But I'm still want to a bit control freak. Want to see everything by myself as well.
I can understand that. I mean, in terms of discipline, do you have to? I mean, obviously you've probably got quite a good health regime. Working in restaurants is obviously very difficult, and a lifestyle as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are there any sort of routines you have in place? Any practices you do to keep your mind sort of clear and focused?
Yeah.
And
I think I'm trying to at least balance the life a bit. You know, try to be in a good health as well. Like, you know, it's like try to have the time in the morning for a bit exercise for maybe 1 or 2 hours. And then after that, I start my day going around the restaurant or do whatever I have to do, you know, the interview, whatever, shooting.
So another restaurant we'll talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Recently was, you know, just in the media that you're about to open a new restaurant at Empire Tower, is it?
Yes. So that one is the extension of Ledoux. So with my business partner at Ledoux, with Tao. So we we partner up and then with the AWC, and then we open the first, maybe the highest Thai restaurant in the world, because we're gonna be on the
right,
the 55th floor on the Empire Tower, which okay, is, you know, have the most stunning view with the amazing terrace and everything. So mm-hmm, that will coming up in the mid of next year, 2024.
So yes. I've always seen the building. It's for those in Bangkok, it's the one in Satorn. It's sort of, it's like four buildings kind of next to each other, right?
Yes,
glass structure.
Like the, it's known for like the you know, the high end like office building.
Yeah, I mean that's what I thought it was, just offices.
Yes,
but,
and then now okay, they change to on the top to be more of the F&B and everything. Mm. So Ledoux is coming in, and also you know Chef Vicky Cheng from Hong Kong, the Michelin okay, star chef, who is my friend as well. He will coming doing one concept as well, you know.
Okay.
And yeah, and the other, you know, also you see the Arabica is open, that you know, the highest Arabica yeah, in the world. So that yeah, also in the, you know, the one floor below us as well.
It's crazy, isn't it, Bangkok right now?
Yes.
I can't keep up with it.
Like I said, everyone opens something, right?
Yeah. So seems like every week there's a new place. So like, yes, like my list right now is just
which
huge,
is good and bad. I mean,
yeah, yeah, I agree. I mean, is there anywhere? I mean, I always like to ask people where their favorite restaurants and bars are right now. But for you, recently, anywhere you've been that you love?
I also I like. I don't know. You went to the new bar of Vespa?
The full hall, not yet.
Not one. Okay. Yeah, so you have to check it out as well. It's like yeah, amazing okay, place that they do. So that yeah, that's very nice for in terms of the bar, and yeah, then for the restaurant, maybe to be honest with you, I'm you know working and having so many restaurants, you not have a chance to go many right, other restaurants.
Sure.
And with the traveling as well, so every time I'm not travel, I have to be at the my restaurant, you know, and then yeah, I still love to be in my restaurant. Yes.
Okay, so when you're not actually working and you're not sort of, you know, doing anything fancy, what do you like to do for food? I mean, are you quite like an easy home cook, or do you prefer to have something?
No, I don't cook at home. That's no, like the rule. Okay. I like, you know, no cooking at home.
Yeah.
Like at all. Like, you know, so I, because it's, I,
his you know, work stays
yes,
out at home.
Yeah. We'll stay somewhere else. You know, I know people like to cook for fun, and but for me, it's like, it's fun, but it's work as well. So when am I, yeah, my when I stay home, I don't like to see it, that much.
Is it mostly like Thai food you sort of eat, or do you like to? I mean, what cuisines are your favorite? I guess
Thai for sure. Definitely yes, Thai. Yes, I love to eat Thai food, okay, to cook Thai food, and that is like you know my to go cuisine, right?
Mm.
And then still one of the my favorite cuisine. But the daytime on the if I have a chance, I will try to go. I like golf a lot, but then this year, yeah. But okay, this year, unfortunately, you know, I haven't played for almost a year already. Hopefully, in 2 days, I can have sneak out and play my first round of this year. But
and where do you normally go for that?
I mean, different places. You know, like Thana City in Bang Nga.
Yeah.
Like, you know, or like the one like Ayutthaya Link or. Okay. You know, Stone Hill and so on.
I'm terrible. I can't play golf. I mean, I've been to Top Golf, which is quite fun.
Top Golf is fun.
It is, yeah. It's quite a cool concept. But yeah, not good at all. But in terms of traveling, I mean, because you do travel quite a lot.
Yes.
Very frequently. Where's been very exciting for you recently? What sort of areas should we be focused on in Southeast okay, Asia?
Yeah, so I, you know, this year I'm traveling quite a lot. You know, I think it's 40 trip.
40?
Yeah, 40,
wow,
40. Okay. So it's like quite a lot, you know. I don't know how I still survive, but
yeah, yeah.
And recently I just went to, you know, Peru.
Wow.
Yeah, to cook with Virgilio, you know, and Pia, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, at the Central and Koye.
What was that experience like?
No, it's the most, I think one of the most amazing trip I'll have. I travel a lot, and then Peru is something very special place, you know, for me. And yeah, in terms of what they do there, you know, the produce and everything that have a lot of, in a way, like different, but then a lot of similarities in Thai cuisine as well.
Right.
You know, because people actually not realize that many of the Thai ingredients that we know today is all come from the South America, right? Or the,
yeah,
you know, the chilies. Mm-hmm. Corianders and so on, right? It's not come from here. And then it's good to go back to that part of the world and see how they use the same ingredients, you know, that we have, but completely different. But yeah. then the fit, for somehow the flavor is quite familiar, you know. So,
okay.
And then the cultures, you know, that they have, the Inca or the runes that, you know, is been there for like thousands of years, you know, to go to like Machu Picchu and stuff. It's like the very, very stunning. Yes.
It's funny you say that because you're correct. Actually, a lot of the chilies, for instance, were cultivated over from
right.
In South America.
Yes.
There does seem to be a lot of similarities. I mean, I've never been to South America. I'd love to go. But for instance, if you look at things like Nampric.
Yes.
And then maybe even Mole, you can see there's sort of some similarities where you have these different recipes from different families and
right.
in the areas.
Yeah.
What else did you see that was sort of similar?
I think it's the people, you know, that they're very kind, you know, and very, very friendly, you know, and especially even in Lima itself, or when you go to like Cusco or even outside of, you know, in the suburb, you know, and you see people and they was super nice, super cool people. Like when you go to like in the suburb of Thailand as well, that you know, people very kind, people like want to share their knowledge, their food, you know, whatever. It's a very good feeling, yes.
Okay. And in terms of drinking culture, what was it like out there? Is it also kind of similar to Thailand?
Yeah, very, very similar to Thailand. You know, they always want to, we always, you know, when it's something very similar, we always want to have a good time. And it's like very casual, very relaxed, you know, it's not so much of the procedure or, you know, anything. It's just like, you know, we're drinking something that we can cultivate it there and then have fun with it.
Okay. So, I mean, so you were at Central Lima, was that correct?
Or? Central and Coyé, yes.
Okay, cool. And was it just a sort of collaboration going over there to sort of learn?
Yeah, we go like the takeovers, or? You know, takeover. We cook at the Pier restaurant, which is Coyé, which is above Central. Central and Coyé is like, you know, in the same space, but then different floor.
Okay.
And then board is the amazing restaurant. And to cook there and then using the mix of the Thai ingredients and also Peruvian ingredients. So it's very fun. And then it's a good, for me, you know, travel is fun to explore, you know. It's the first time I cook like alapaima, you know, the big Amazonian fish, you know, that.
No, never heard of it.
Yeah, like the like 200 kilo fish. And then that's the first time that I try and then I eat and then I cook. So.
Wow.
Them, so it's something very, very special. And then like, of course, in Peru you have like 1,000 different kind of potatoes and we're using that and then try many of them, of course not the 1,000 of them but many of them, so quite very interesting.
When you go to countries like that, do you ever sort of get inspiration and take some of that either culture or cooking techniques back to Thailand to teach your team?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, you know, and most of the time a few of my team traveling with me and we always discuss, you know, to see all these ingredients. Of course, we're not going to cook Peruvian cuisine, but, you know, there's always the, you know, the ideas, the techniques, you know, that we can learn from each other, I think. And I think this is the most important thing when you travel. First, you get to cook, you know, differently, you know, out of your comfort zone. And at the same time, you see what other people are doing, you know, because to be honest, when you're in your own kitchen is good, you know, but sometimes for too long and you not travel anywhere, it make you, you know, can think out of this box as well for me.
Yeah.
I might have the different approach from many other chefs, but then this is my take on it, yes.
And, okay, so let's go back into sort of Thai fine dining again.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fantastic right now what's going on. For me, there's always been a bit of a confusion. I think it's sort of a bit better now, but there was a point where people were opening Thai fine dining restaurants, but it wasn't really fine dining. It was more heritage Thai food.
Yes.
You know, which I think is great to bring back these old recipes and these, you know,
right.
going back to the, but it didn't really translate to fine dining.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very hard to find a restaurant that can put the two together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've done it very well at Ladu. You know, yes. I've eaten there and I thought it was great. Another one I thought was very good was Tan. At Siam, I think they translated very well too.
Yes.
Where do you think, how do you cross those boundaries? Because obviously you still focus on, you know, old recipes, but just elevated higher.
Yes.
How do you find that mix?
I think I want to do something quite, you know, difference, you know. And of course, like you said, you know, all the old recipe and everything is good, you know. And it's good that to see many people and many chefs, you know, cooking those, you know, old recipe, you know, like people who's like champion that is like, you know, Chef Bodilan, you know, David Thompson, you know, Chef Prin at Samlab, you know, they do amazing job of, you know, cooking the old recipe from the old books. And that is, you know, what they do. And it's a part of the cuisine that we cannot, you know, miss, and then cannot stop, you know, doing, because they're keeping our heritage, they're keeping our past. And for me, it's my different take, you know. So I want to see the new direction of the cuisine, you know. I don't know for better or worse, but just something new. And I think that's very important in the cuisine, you know, to have the evolution all the time. And I think everything needs the evolution, you know. If you stop doing something and then you just keep doing the old thing, I think, you know, at the end it will die down, you know. And if you look at every cuisine, and especially if you look at Thai cuisine, we the cuisine that always evolve all the time. And then we said that, oh, we have the old recipe, but those old recipe, you know, back in the day, you know, our ancestor back in that day, you know, they're mixing things up together. Like you said, you know, they get the chili from here, you know, the Portuguese teach them to make this egg dessert.
Right.
Of course, they like their fusion, and then they mix things up and make the Thai cuisine what we know today, right? And then, I mean, not many people have done to Thai cuisine much after that, you know, because it's because it'll be so good as well. But I think for me, I want to do something that to move this forward a bit, okay, you know. And maybe what I cook, maybe it's not as good as what they have, but it's okay, because for me, I just need to feed something new, you know, into the industry, into the cuisine. And then at the end, I think the people will select what they like, and that they will become the old new Thai cuisine in the future, right? So
yeah, okay. With Thai food now around the world, I'm sure you've seen this, there's a stigma of Thai food only being pad Thai, green curry.
Yes,
obviously much more than that, much more complicated.
Right.
I've always said that I believe Namprik is the Thai, the national dish.
Yeah,
of
one of the most Thai dish that it could be.
I think it really gives you a sense of place through taste, because there's so many, you know, Namprik Plateau, Namprik Kabi.
Yes.
Each region has its own, you know, I guess, a recipe, but a DNA as well. But what would you say for people coming to Thailand, what's the best way to really experience Thai food?
I think it's go to see, like you said, you know, go to different part also, if you have time. Of course, I know not everyone have time to travel so much in Thailand, but then if you have, you all have time, just go to different places, you know, not so much of the, you know, go explore something new, you know, not go to, I'm not saying like all the tourist spot is not good. It's good, of course, to check it out, but then also to balance it out with go explore to some part that a bit unknown to the tourists, and then that you try the of course, the real Thai food. And then of course, go to different part of Thailand, you know, go to the north, go to the northeast, go to the south, and then taste different cuisine of Thailand have to offer, you know. Obviously, like the northern cuisine and the southern cuisine is like completely different.
Very different.
So that is, I think, is the thing that when you come to Thailand, you have to try that different as well, to understand more of the Thai food.
Can you give me top three Thai dishes for people to try?
I think, you know, for the people, you know, that maybe not so familiar to Thai cuisine, you know, of course, Pad Thai and Tom Yam Goong is a bit boring, right? So everyone knows it.
Right.
I think if you go to the north of Thailand, you know, you have to try the Nam Ngeo. I think that's, you know, I think a lot now Khao Soi become very, very famous as well.
True.
But then the Nam Ngeo is, I think, one is very, very northern, you know, so it's something that, you know, you have the Khanom Chin and you eat with the stew of, you know, pork, and that, you know, is the curry that you add with the pork broth at the end, right? So it's quite something very unique.
Okay.
And all in the south that you should try, of course, the Kang Tai Pa. I think Kang Tai Pa is like the curry that made from the all the fermented fish gut, you know, right. which is something that very, very Southern.
This is very, very Thai as well. Yes. Like, yep.
It's my, you might not like it, but then at least you try to see the difference. And of course, when you go to the Northeast, you have to try the roux, which is like the Thai style beef tartar, right? That they added with this, the bitter part of the cow stomach. So that is also, that's something.
All the good bits.
Very interesting.
Good. So obviously we're nearly at the end of 2023. It's been a fantastic year for you, man. So really congratulations.
Thank you.
I think what you're doing is amazing. What's in store for 2024? Is there anything we should be looking out for? Anything exciting that you're going to do?
Of course, the project at AYA, you know, that Ladu will do the Thai rooftop at the Empire Towers. And also, I'm partnering up with a chef, you know, I think one of the most talented chef, that we will open the restaurant, that he will, he's the chef. I'm nothing to do with cooking. He's his own cooking. His name is Dimi. Chef Dimi from he's a Greek, but then he worked in many amazing restaurants all around Europe, you know, which is, you know, Borago, you know, in the South America as well, us in German and everywhere, many places, you know. And he's now, he lives in Bangkok, and we partner up and open the restaurant called Ole, which will be on top of the BK Salon, which is our casual restaurant that just opened also in Satupadit. So that, I think, is the 8th seat of the only the open fire cooking, you know, no stove, no electric, no anything. It's just pure fire.
Wow.
And that is, I think, it will be one of the most exciting opening next year, you know. And also next year, we will, at the end of the year, hopefully we will, I have the restaurant in the Phuket called Samut. And we will move Samut to the Phuket town. Now we are a bit outside of the Phuket town. So now we doing maybe one of the biggest restaurant project in Phuket right now for the renovation. We get the heritage house that is, you know, is hundreds of years old, and is and we renovating it now. And it will be, hopefully when it's finished, it will be one of the most beautiful restaurant in Phuket.
How many concepts do you have now? It must be a huge list. It's crazy.
Yes.
Are you ever going to stop? Are you just going to keep going? I mean, you obviously have the drive and the passion to, but
So I'm, like I said, I like to find something, you know, new, and I get bored very easy. So right. I have to find something to do. And of course, to find something to do is a good thing, because it's meaning I give opportunity to all the, my team, or even all the young chef that, you know, have potential, and I try to help them to you know, to grow on their own way as well, or to have their own business. Yes.
Good. Ton, it's been amazing. Thank you so much. I've always enjoyed working with you. I think you're such an inspiration to not just Thailand, but to the world in the color of culinary. Thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
Thank you.
For those listening, you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, and please do follow Ton. And if you ever come to Bangkok, check out his restaurants.